The Last Reunion.
Hey, Lee Allen, you've done it. And thanks to your efforts, we're reconnecting. Great friendships in Detroit radio, the music business, and media in general. We've come together today.
Detroit, from Keter 13 in the 60s, this is Bob Green. You know, I'll never forget my first look at Detroit from the base of Woodward in 1961 as I came to work at WKMH. It was really exciting, an adrenaline rush. And then a year later, when I got a break in Miami, Florida, Biscayne Bay, the sun, all that, believe it or not, I missed Detroit. Really. And it was 1963 when I returned to start at WKNR, Keener 13. I don't know, for my first kielbasa and Hamtramck, jazz at Baker's keyboard, soul of the 20 grand, there was always something special to do in the Motor City. And wow, I was in a great radio market, privileged to work among some of the best radio talent anywhere. Of course, most important of all, I met my wonderful wife, a native Detroiter there, with a family big enough to fill Cobo Hall for two seatings. I will always care for you. Hello, Detroit. It was early 1961 when I got the gig at WKMH, where top pros like Lee, Robin Seymour, and others were heard in some parts of the Detroit Metro on a frequency of 1310 on the AM dial, with six towers pumping 5,000 watts up to God, but not so much on the east side. I hadn't totally done my homework as to WKMH history. I was just thrilled to get a gig in Detroit from a station in Geneva, New York. Earlier in the year, station owner Fred Knorr had passed away after a tragic accident. After a few months, I received a call from the PD at Florida Powerhouse WQAM. Now, WQAM and their Miami competitor, WFUN, would, within a few months, play a pivotal role in the nature of competition in the Motor City. Meanwhile, I'd kept in touch with Frank Maruca back at WKMH, the guy with the title of PD, but actually a GM and fabulous promotion whiz. He informed me of the plans to take WKMH Top 40, decided upon after management paid consultant Mike Joseph $50,000 to do what Frank Maruca had already told him to do 12 months earlier. Fred Knorr's wife, Nellie Knorr, was holding the reins now. Sometimes we're unable to make changes and decisions, even if our business acumen tells us otherwise. Nellie Knorr understood vividly that husband Fred had hated Top 40 music. So when consultant Mike Joseph deemed it was the thing to do in 1963 Detroit radio, Mrs. Knorr was less than thrilled, but had the smarts to know it was a good business decision. A big contention were the call letters. Had to be changed. Another tug at the heart of Fred Knorr's legacy, as Mrs. Knorr saw it. But Joseph hit a home run, with the call letters WKNR, for Knorr Broadcasting, of course. Mrs. Knorr wasn't just appeased, but very pleased. And the genius of it, KNR was Keener. Stations in 1963 weren't known by names yet. Called me back to Detroit in September. I was really happy to be back in the Motor City. We worked to get ready for the unveiling of this great new station. There were new voices, as well as well-known ones from WKMH, Jim Sanders, and of course Robin Seymour. As plans were finalized, we kicked off Keener the night of Halloween 1963 with an Arch Obler Spooktacular. $250,000 was set aside for another kickoff promotion or two, when beloved President John F. Kennedy met his fate in Dallas, Texas.
The president's car is now turning onto Elm Street, and it will be only a matter of minutes before he arrives at the trademark. It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route. There's numerous people running up the hill.
Well, WKNR immediately became a news station with an attempt at some music, but in November of 63, there was really little pop music that would fit on the air during such somber times. The Singing Nun got an inordinate amount of airplay. We started all over again about a week later, and somehow, that 5,000 watter at 1310 took the market by storm. Within two short months, the station that Bill Gavin had called the miracle baby of the industry had Hooper and Pulse ratings with shares into the 20s. Keep in mind that the content, the music of the era, didn't exactly hurt us. From great girl groups, surfing hits, and most importantly, of course, the Beatles and the Motown sound. The content was shared by basically four competitors: WXYZ, WJBK, CKLW, and WKNR. The Keener philosophy recognized it was not only the content, but the presentation of that content that allowed us to stand out. Mort Crowley was brought in by Mike Joseph for the new Keener Morning Show. Within 3 months, Mort did his own version of "I Don't Like It and I'm Not Gonna Take It Anymore." Keener was already using phones on the air, and there was such interest among Detroit listeners that it became common for the phone lines to get jammed. When Ma Bell requested that Mort limit his phones to one line, Mort went on a tirade against the big monopoly and quit on the air. Mort was replaced by a great guy named Swingin' Sweeney, who had a habit of falling asleep on the air. He was let go several months later. An opening filled by one Paul Richard Parton. We hired Jerry Goodwin and Ted Clark from QAM and Scotty Regan from Miami competitor WFUN. Over the next month or so, the station sound of the new Keener 13 became WQAM North.
The Detroit Sound! Wonderful WQAM!
Music!
Keener 13!
We got away with some odd moments, such as in 1964. I was doing the night show. Every night as we did that show, pizzas, pies, cakes, and cookies were delivered to the front desk at Keener. And to prove how the world has changed, we ate the stuff. Never any question. One night I made a casual statement that no pizzas were delivered that night. And I made an offer of a new Beatle LP for the first person to deliver one. We took a 100-foot-long mic cable along with that RCA mic, the one that looks like a kielbasa, and a double card table outside our Michigan Avenue studios. Over 500 pizzas arrived that night, and I had to sample every one of them. The Dearborn Fire Department was called to clear all 8 blocked lanes of Michigan Avenue. The power of radio, 1964. Formats are there to give direction, but the one-time shtick can be the most potent thing in a station's arsenal.
Come on, baby, let's do the swim. That's Bobby Freeman, number 21 this week on Keener. 10 minutes after 6 on the Gary Stevens Show.
Keener, 1-3 Weather Tower.
Now here's the Jerry Goodwin Show.
Happy to have you company, the Jerry Goodwin Show. This is Tuesday, August 23rd, 1966. We sit around and do it to it from 9 till 3 o'clock. The big sound of Detroit? Yes, sir, the sounds of Keener and nonstop music here. 4 minutes after high noon right now in Lee Dorsey. Working in the coal mine.
Looks like today is the day, you know, that I should have stayed home.
Hello?
Hark, there's a voice. Who's this?
Sharon.
Sharon, how are you, Sharon?
Okay, how are you?
I tell you, we had more trouble with the things today. I couldn't get anybody on the phone for a while, and just kind of a general mess. So, you know, I'm going to like this. But I'm glad you got in. You go to school or what, Sharon?
Rest of Union.
Redford Union High, huh? Okay, who would you like to dedicate a song to first?
Keener loves Detroit.
Got somebody on the phone right now from a pajama party. And hello there.
Hello.
Is this Sandy?
Yes, it is.
Sandy, how are you?
Fine.
Good. Okay, tell us now, would you please qualify by telling us the record we played before Yeah Yeah?
Nowhere to Run by Martin Vandellas is number 30.
And you're so right. And you're having a pajama party, right?
Sweet, Keener hit 21. Huh. Those are the trade winds. I'm gonna take a rocket to Mars. I'm gonna take a hike to the stars.
Yeah,
I should have been a trade wind, Michael.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's a mind excursion, by the way, kid. When is yours due back?
Oh, you're funny. 3 after 11 o'clock here, Keener. Marlene says howdy to Debbie and to Marie and to Nancy. J. Michael Wilson along with Rodney the Blunder Rodent until who knows when.
Now, you're going to teach me how to sing.
Right.
We made a bargain that he will teach me how to sing if I teach him how to be a disc jockey. Deal?
Deal. Definitely a deal.
Okay. Now, what are you going to teach me?
Well, first of all, we got to get the key. Say...
Boy, I'm really sorry.
Say...
Keener
13. Oh, he's got it.
Oh,
so
man.
Here's more music with Dick Burton. There it is. Happy Together. All right. It's exactly 5 minutes delay. WKNR time. And time to hop out of those Farmington haylofts. Let's get up and at him here in the Purton Show. I've been a little concerned lately since a week ago tonight, when I got in that fight that I may have mentioned once or twice, that I really took on Wayne Walker, and unfortunately I got carried away and did a little bodily damage.
The less than stellar signal, and the belief among some ad agency folks that Keener's listeners were just kids. It's amazing we prospered. Yeah. Just kids listen to Keener.
It's happened again.
Oh, I didn't believe myself. In fact, it's unbelievable.
We have another winner.
Oh, I didn't believe myself. In fact, it's unbelievable. My name is Louis Markovitz of Detroit. I am 75 years old, and I am a great-grandfather. Also, a $208 winner in WKNR Keener Cash Game.
And how do you feel now, Mr. Markowitz?
Shocked.
Well, we barely touched the surface of WKMH and WKNR history. I've left a big space to be filled by Robin Seymour's delightful and fascinating new book. Be sure and get your copy and have it signed by the master storyteller.
Music.